Josephus says Jesus spoke Aramaic. From a biblical perspective, Josephus is the most important historian living in Israel in the 1st century AD. His classic works, The Antiquities of the Jews and The Wars of the Jews, have been used by both adult Bible believers and Sunday school scholars for generations. If anyone ought to know what language Jesus spoke, it was Josephus. Josephus was a Jew who lived around AD 37 to 100. He lived in Israel shortly after the death of Jesus, and he was an eyewitness to many of the events described in the New Testament, including the disciples of Jesus preaching the gospel in Israel and throughout the whole world. Here is how Wikipedia describes Josephus. His works provide valuable insight into 1st century Judaism and the background of early Christianity. His works provide crucial information about the first Jewish-Roman War and also represent important literary source material for understanding the context of the Dead Sea Scrolls and late Second Temple Judaism. Josephus was born to a father of priestly descent and to a mother who claimed royal ancestry. He was well educated and was a scholar as well as a historian. Josephus was therefore the most important and well-known historian in Roman Judea, or Israel in the 1st century, as we would call it today. He carefully recorded the painful events around the destruction of the Jewish temple in AD 70 and the subsequent ransacking of Jerusalem at the hands of the Romans, followed by the siege of Masada. Thus, if anyone is qualified to speak about this time, it was Josephus. He was a Jew, he knew his people, he knew the country, and because he was a scholar and a historian, he knew the language of his country better than anyone else. So what exactly does Josephus say about the normal, everyday language spoken by Jews in the 1st century in Israel? Surely the answer to this question must be critical to an understanding of the culture in which the New Testament was born, and the culture and context in which it must be understood. The documents which we have preserved of Josephus today were written hundreds of years ago in Greek. In fact, William Whiston's classic translation of 1732 from the Greek edition of Josephus was a classic book in Victorian times, and is still, even today, the version of Josephus's works that most people will be familiar with. But we would have to go to Josephus himself, rather than a later Greek copy, to discover what language Josephus himself constantly refers to as the language of our country. When we read Josephus, we find that Aramaic was the language Josephus is referring to. Aramaic is what Josephus refers to as the language of our country. Josephus uses the expression so often that it is almost a catchphrase. By the language of our country, Israel, Josephus meant the language that people generally spoke in Israel, that is, their language, not the language of the current foreign occupiers, the Romans, nor the Hellenistic invaders who had shortly beforehand wreaked havoc under the hand of Antiochus Epiphanes, leading to the Maccabean Revolt, in which Jews revolted against the imposition of Greek customs and the Greek language. Rather, by the language of our country, Josephus meant the language spoken in Roman Judea or 1st century Israel, and that language was Aramaic. In his voluminous books, Josephus is at pains to point out that he originally wrote in Aramaic, and only later did he translate his extensive writings into the Greek language. So let us open up the pages of Josephus's classic writings and examine for ourselves the evidence presented by Josephus, or Joseph ben Matityahu, a Jew, a scholar, and the classic historian of Roman Judea. In his book, The Wars of the Jews, Josephus writes, "I have proposed to myself, for the sake of such as live under the government of the Romans, to translate those books into the Greek tongue, which I formerly composed in the language of our country." Thus, Josephus says that his works were originally written in Aramaic, the language of our country, of Roman Judea or Israel, and that he later translated those works into Greek for a wider audience. This clearly means that Greek was not the language of Israel. Josephus's books were not originally written in Greek, since, as discussed in the chapter, but wasn't the New Testament written in Greek? Josephus tells us that he was unfamiliar with the Greek language. He didn't know Greek, and he couldn't pronounce it properly. The later translation into Greek was only necessary because the Romans carried out a wholesale destruction of all Hebrew and Aramaic manuscripts in the destruction of AD 70, and Josephus wanted his histories to go to a wider audience. Josephus also draws the distinction between his histories and those of other Jews, all of which were written in Aramaic, and other histories of Judaism which Greeks had by this time attempted. Many Jews before me have composed the histories of our ancestors very exactly, as have some of the Greeks done it also, and have translated our histories into their own tongue, and have not much mistaken the truth in these histories. In Against Apion, another of Josephus's works, Josephus explains that his work was also translated into Greek. My books of the Antiquities of the Jews, those antiquities contain the history of 5,000 years, and are taken out of our sacred books, but are translated by me into the Greek tongue. In translating into Greek, Josephus testifies that he originally wrote in a language other than Greek, Aramaic, in other words. Now, you might think that when Josephus repeatedly talks about our own language, or our own tongue, or the language of our country, he means Hebrew rather than Aramaic. Let's examine whether that is in fact the case. In his extensive writings, Josephus is very precise in identifying when he means Hebrew, or the Hebrew language, as opposed to Aramaic, which he constantly refers to as the language of our country. In fact, Josephus frequently makes the distinction between Aramaic, which is what he originally wrote in, and Hebrew. When he means Hebrew, Josephus explicitly says so, in contrast to Aramaic. Here are a few examples from the Antiquities of the Jews to illustrate this point. And call it the Sabbath, which word denotes rest in the Hebrew tongue. This man was called Adam, which in the Hebrew tongue signifies one that is read. Now a woman is called in the Hebrew tongue Isha. He also commanded him to be called Israel, which in the Hebrew tongue signifies one that struggled with the divine angel. Now the former of those names, Gershom, in the Hebrew tongue, signifies that he was in a strange land. Adonai Bezek, which name denotes the Lord of Bezek, for Adonai, in the Hebrew tongue, signifies Lord. Deborah, a certain prophetess among them, whose name in the Hebrew tongue signifies a bee. Now Barak, in the Hebrew tongue, signifies lightning. Now Naomi signifies in the Hebrew tongue happiness, and Mara, sorrow. To a certain city called Mizpeh, which in the Hebrew tongue signifies a watchtower. Now Nabal, in the Hebrew tongue, signifies folly. In the above examples, Josephus makes reference to certain words being in Hebrew, because these are all examples of words which are different to the equivalent word in Aramaic. Josephus, writing in Aramaic, gives the Hebrew word, but then has to explain what the word means to his Aramaic readers. If he had been writing in Hebrew in the first place, a translation would obviously not have been necessary. This proves that Josephus must have written in Aramaic rather than Hebrew. And so, when Josephus means Hebrew, he uses the phrase the Hebrew tongue. By contrast, when he means Aramaic, he says the language of our country, or our language, or similar phrase. Here are some further examples. He also placed a partition around the temple, which in our tongue we called Gison, but is called Thrygios by the Greeks. Although I have so long accustomed myself to speak our own language that I cannot pronounce Greek. To translate those books into the Greek tongue which I formerly composed in the language of our country. Thus, Josephus repeatedly refers to Aramaic as the language of our own country, our own language or our own tongue, as opposed to the Hebrew tongue or the Greek tongue. Aramaic, therefore, is a language in which Josephus says is spoken throughout Israel in the 1st century AD. It was not Hebrew, nor was it Greek. In fact, not only does Josephus use the phrase our own language to refer to Aramaic, but the New Testament itself uses this very phrase. In the book of Acts, for instance, we read, Acts chapter 1, verse 19, "And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper own tongue Akel Dama, that is to say, the field of blood." Here, after the death of Judas, the inhabitants of Jerusalem call the field where he died Akel Dama. They call it Akel Dama in their proper tongue, in other words, in their own tongue, that is, the language in which the people of Jerusalem spoke. And so, if we can identify which language Hakel Dama is in, we can identify the language that Josephus refers to as the language of our country and our own tongue. Josephus uses the same phrase, our own tongue, as the New Testament uses. So, in which language is Hakel Dama? This phrase is made up from the Aramaic Hakel, meaning field, and Dama, meaning the blood. The King James is translated from Greek, and Greek has no letter H, and so Hakel becomes Akel. But critically, Hakel Dama cannot be Hebrew. It can only be Aramaic. In Hebrew, the word for field is not Hakel, it is Sadeh. In Hebrew, the equivalent phrase would be Sadeh Hadam. Thus, Hakel Dama uniquely and precisely identifies our own tongue, the phrase used by both Josephus and the New Testament, as Aramaic rather than Hebrew. Aramaic was, therefore, the language generally spoken in 1st century Israel by Jews in Roman Judea. Both Josephus and the New Testament are in harmony. By the mouth of two or three witnesses shall the matter be established. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. We have seen then that Aramaic was the language of Josephus, the language of the New Testament, the language of Israel and Jerusalem, and therefore the language spoken by Jesus and the disciples. Aramaic should therefore command our respect. Aramaic should command our love. It is the holy language of the New Testament, just as Hebrew is the holy language of the Old Testament. If we love the Scriptures, we will love Aramaic, for the Scriptures were given, in part, in Aramaic.